Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
But five brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution. And Tyler, you may fire when ready.
So obviously the big news of the day is the Georgia-Ohio State series a decade from now.
Right. You mean it's not Austin Peay?
It's not Austin Peay, but you know, we've added Ohio State, Florida State, Clemson, Oklahoma, a lot of really great big-time teams that we're going to be playing here, there, in Atlanta, a combination of that. Who is an opponent that we haven't scheduled yet that you'd like to see Georgia play in a future home-and-home series?
I like Michigan would be one. Georgia did play them back in the 60s.
65 was the last time.
Yeah. I think Washington would be another one with the good scene where they've got the tailgating there,
yeah,
right on the lake. But I think that's like a good atmosphere. It's Seattle. So it'd be a trip worth making.
Right.
If you're going to go and play somewhere.
Right.
That would be one.
Well, yeah, if you're going to play in the Pacific Northwest in a home and home, you know, escape the 100-degree heat here and go enjoy the mildness of Washington State,
yeah,
for at least a weekend.
You know, Georgia had another one that was at once upon a time scheduled, and then it was nixed, was Oregon.
Yeah, well, we got the Atlanta game with them at least.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind doing a home and home with them, but I am liking that it appears that these neutral site games are about to be going away too, because
right,
even Alabama, which has been playing in them pretty much every year since Saban has gotten there, every announcement you've seen come out of them for a future non-conference scheduling has been all home and homes.
Well, with what the college football playoff has brought with that extra game, if you are a team like Alabama that's obviously been in the playoff every single year, you're already asking your fan base to travel to the SEC championship game, and again, it's one state over, it's not that far, travel to a semifinal game and then travel to a national championship all within the span of a month. You know, you're going to have a lot of people expecting to go to all those games at the end of the year, pass over the opportunity to go to the Chick-fil-A kickoff or the Cowboy Classic in September, because they'd much rather be at the games that mean a lot more at the end of the year.
Yeah. Well, and then like this year when the opponent was Duke.
Yeah, like.
Yeah, that's just awful.
It's a blowout.
Next year they're going to play USC, and then in 21 they've got Miami scheduled. But then after that, they've got at Texas, home Texas, at Wisconsin, at Florida State, home Wisconsin. They've got a home and home with West Virginia. They've got a home and home in the future with Notre Dame. They've also got one with Oklahoma. I mean, they've got one with Virginia Tech, too. That's 2034 and 35. I don't know if that was necessary, but again, these are home and home. So everyone seems to be going that route, and after you're getting the sense that these non-conference neutral site games are about to become extinct.
Because Bama's last home and home with a non-conference, was that Penn State 8-9 years ago?
It was either Penn State or Duke. They went to Duke. And when Jeff and I talked about this earlier in the year, when they were opening up with Duke in Atlanta, they played at Duke in like 10 or 11.
Okay.
But Penn State was the last.
I remember the Penn State. I mean, I obviously wasn't paying as much attention to Alabama and Duke as I would be them and Penn State.
No, but it's fun. Like, Bama has gone to Duke,
yeah,
under Nick Saban.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I imagine that was probably a lopsided game.
I think you're right. Yeah.
I'd be willing to bet.
How much are you willing to bet, Tyler?
If you give me a point spread, what I think it might be.
I'm going to find it for you in just a second. That the year that was...
Unless it was like 07, which I don't think
it was. I don't think it was in 07.
Because obviously that was the bad year that nobody likes to talk about.
It was in 10.
Okay.
2010.
So that was the 10 team that only lost to Auburn. And
they lost to South Carolina.
South Carolina, that's right. Steven Garcia.
Had a down year.
That's right. This was at Duke.
They went to Durham, North Carolina.
Was it more than 24 points?
Oh, yeah.
And that was back when they were, you know, playing with game manager quarterbacks. That would have been McElroy's last year, correct?
That sounds right, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so for them to beat an opponent by more than that, that's saying something.
62-13.
Okay, well, yeah, that's 49 points.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then the other, only other one they've had has been, they did have the Penn State one. But other than that, they've played in one of those neutral site games.
Right, every year,
yeah.
Because I get why the neutral site game was introduced, to kind of create like what basketball does, where you have these tournament-style games like the State Farm's Champions Classic on Tuesday night. In college football, they wanted to create these bowl-type atmospheres in week one, but now that you've added the college football playoff and made those two bowl games such a big deal, you don't really have the need for these at the beginning of the year.
Well, and then, you know, originally, too, if you were getting a matchup, like, hey, look, Alabama and Clemson are going to play in it, but when you get to the point where now it's Alabama and Duke.
Yeah, when they played West Virginia in 2014.
Or I think,
was it West Virginia? Yeah.
Yes, West Virginia. They played
Tech
them
the year, but Virginia Tech the year before.
Yeah, and then Texas Tech and Ole Miss, I think, opened up. They did one of them in Houston.
Yeah,
like that's where, since we're basically, you know, college football and all sports are such a show business.
Yeah,
it's the entertainment industry. We could say like that when it gets to Bama playing Duke in one of them.
Yeah,
that's a TV show that has jumped the shark.
Well, Texas played Rice at NRG Stadium earlier this year.
But that was like a couple games into the season, though, wasn't it?
I
don't think
so.
That was like considered one of those.
But still, it was kind of a weird thing to do at a neutral site. I mean, I get it. They're both in Texas.
Yeah, but Rice is in Houston.
Okay. So I guess that was a de facto home game then.
I guess Rice probably just gave their home game and just decided to go play. And,
yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That was considered a Rice home game.
Right. Now, I remember a time, and I guess this was even as the college football playoff started, when you would get more excited for those big neutral site week one matchups. Now they're just kind of like a shoulder shrug, like, all right, whatever.
Well, I was like, when someone decided that Georgia will play next Labor Day against Virginia in Atlanta,
yeah,
like, did somebody really think that was good? Like, Georgia fans are just going to be, oh my God, that's a must. I've got to, where can I get tickets to that game? Do I need to camp out for them?
Right. Especially with how, you know, after last season and what they did to South Carolina in the Belk Bowl, is like, okay, well, Virginia might be a pretty good team by the time that game rolls around, and they've been such a odd team to figure out this year, they could very well, you know, not even make it to a bowl game at this point.
Yeah,
I think.
I mean, even if they are like decent, it's still Virginia,
right? Kind of grasping at straws, like that North Carolina team we played to open 2016. They turned out to be a really, really awful team that year.
Yeah, hey, their quarterback was the second pick of the draft. Now
that's right. And
he wants
that
the TVs
out?
Turned
he,
off.
He doesn't want the TVs on because he doesn't want to hear the negativity. Well, maybe the team should have drafted, you know, a better quarterback. Like, if only there was some guy that had won the national championship and should have won the Heisman Trophy that was available to pick instead of Mitch Trubisky.
Who played in the same conference
That's
Trubisky
right.
did.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, who was? Oh, yeah, Deshaun Watson.
Did they play head-to-head that year?
Yeah, that's, I don't know. For some reason, I don't think they did.
Because that's kind of what, I like what I'm seeing out of the NFL now, with taking quarterbacks like Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson. You know, the big stigma against him was, oh, he should just become a running back, he should become a wide receiver. They're now adapting to these college-style offenses more, where hopefully we get to the point where, just because Mitch Trubisky has the, you know, build of what a prototypical NFL quarterback should be, that doesn't mean he should get picked over Deshaun Watson, who led Clemson to national championships, very well should have been a Heisman winner, just because he doesn't have the right size and speed they're looking for.
When you go back and you add up, like, all right, how many Alabama defenders have the NFL been drafting in, like, the first round?
Yeah, it's at least two, three a year.
Yeah, and so, like, this guy twice torched that defense.
Yep.
So if you like that defense so much, you're drafting them in the first round, why wouldn't you take him also?
Right.
And then, you know, the same thing with Murray and Lamar. It's like, these guys, if you watched them,
yeah,
like, they could play.
Exactly.
And I've said it. I think you guys like Michael Vick and Vince Young,
they played in this NFL.
Superstar. They came along at the wrong time.
I mean, Vick was obviously a superstar in his own regard, but I mean, they would be tearing it up right now.
Well, but even before the things fell apart with him with the dogfighting, he became frustrating because, yeah, Jim Moore and Greg Knapp had that offense, and they just, well, you got to be on the West Coast offense, and
yep,
they're just trying to plug him into this
right.
this system. Like, no, 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 no.
Adapt your offense to your superstar.
But that's not how it used to be. But that's how it's becoming that way now.
Look at what Baltimore did to New England on Sunday night.
Yep.
That was the best defense in the entire league. Again, they played some pretty underwhelming opponents leading into that game. They were up 17-0 in the blink of an eye.
Yep. First good team the Patriots played.
That's right.
Beat them pretty good.
That very well could be your AFC championship game.
Yep. I like New England in that rematch at Foxborough.
I was going to say, put it in Foxborough, you probably tell a little bit different story, but it'll still be a good game, I think.
Oh, yeah. You got Baltimore has always been the one team New England does not want to play in the postseason.
Right. Which is why I don't get people that are so hard on John Harbaugh and trying to, you know, push him out of that job every time they have a mediocre year. It's like, you realize this is the guy that's beaten New England more consistently than anybody else over the past decade.
Yeah. That's the one team I guarantee the Patriots would they wouldn't say it out loud,
right.
But you know, deep down inside, like they would rather not face them in the postseason. Andy Reid got his number, you know, and then whoever else they're going to throw
Tomlin.
At him, but Mike Tomlin,
who may
big
not
time.
Be with the Steelers next year,
yeah,
they may be on their fourth head coach since what, like 1960.
But Baltimore's the one that's taken him out before.
Yeah, that's right. Moving on, the 5-5. Talking about the LSU-Alabama matchup, what would the point differential have to be for the loser to get dropped out of the top five? Because if Alabama wins, number three team beats the number two team, LSU probably only drops down to four. If LSU wins, two beats number three, they might drop down to four. But neither one of these teams is probably dropping out of the top five as long as the game or top four as long as the game is close. What would the differential have to be to drop one of these teams significantly?
So you would say even like drop below Georgia?
Yeah, exactly.
Where Georgia would continue to be the highest ranked one loss team?
Yes.
I would think like between like 3-4 touchdowns, what would be...
Which is probably not going to happen.
Really a blowout.
Right.
No, I would be... It'd be shocking if this game ended up in a blowout.
Right.
I think if that's... That if you're of the possible outcomes, which are what? LSU wins close, LSU blowout, Bama wins close, Bama blowout.
Right.
I think either one is a blowout or the last two. The first two, LSU wins close or Bama wins close, are the likely outcomes.
Now, which blowout would be more likely to you?
I would have to say Bama, because they're at home and it's Saban against Ed Orgeron. I like Ed Orgeron, and the guy is obviously he's done a lot of reflecting on his coaching career, and he's made changes to it. He's gotten better at his job since he was going 0-8 at Ole Miss.
Right.
But still, it's, you know, Nick Saban against Ed Orgeron. I can't see Coach O blowing Saban out on Saban's home field.
Right.
So that would be the real long shot there.
Yeah. Looking at the NFL standings right now, as we're pretty much halfway through the 2019 season, what NFL division leader right now is currently not going to make the playoffs, in your opinion?
Not make the playoffs?
Yes, not Ooh. Make the playoffs.
Well, I think the one that's in the division that has the most depth is the AFC South.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd have to say Houston would be the leading candidate there, because Dallas is just in between the Giants. Although, I guess that's the call with Dallas. Like, that could be just a one team division, and the Eagles could end up winning it. I don't think the Packers. It ain't the Saints. The Saints are in. The Niners are in.
Because, I mean, I feel like the wild card out of the NFC is going to come from the North. It'll probably be the Vikings.
Yeah, see, the AFC is weird because Buffalo could end up with the wild card just because they play in a division where they're going to get to play they've played the Jets already, so they've got they still have two games left against the Dolphins and Jets, and they're already at six wins. So that's
right.
Figure that's at least 8-8 is the worst for them.
Right.
So you assume they're going to get 9-10 wins. So the AFC East is going to have two teams, the Patriots and the Bills.
Yep.
Which leaves then you've got the Raiders are 4-4. The Chargers are doing that thing where they seem to always be like 4-5, and then November rolls around and they take off. In fact, the Raiders and Chargers play tonight, which actually might be a decent game. I'm going to go with I'm going to go with Dallas, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Again, they're the only team that's lost to the Jets.
Good call.
You know, they ended up pulling away in the end, but that game with the Giants the other night was relatively tight for the most part.
And they've got the Vikings this week.
Uh-huh.
They have to go to New England still. They still have to play at Philly. So they've already played the Giants twice. They do have one game left against Washington.
They got to play the Rams, too.
They have to play the Rams also. They host the Bills on Thanksgiving, which might actually be a decent game now that the Bills are having a good season. They have to go to the Lions. The Lions aren't terrible. So, yeah, I think I'd go with the Cowboys.
You know how many of the Cowboys' remaining games aren't in a prime time or big spotlight?
I'd say one.
Two. So technically the Lions game is a 1 o'clock game, then the Redskins game is a 1 o'clock game. Every other game is either the 4:30 game or a night game.
Yeah. That's why they get all the calls.
I was gonna say the NFL's really lucky that they're having a good season this year.
Right, that's the thing. It hadn't really mattered in the past. They're always...
Yeah, it's true.
They get those primetime slots.
This is kind of one of those years when you're hearing all the hype, but when you kind of break down the numbers a little bit, it's like, well, I don't know if they're as good as people like to think that they are.
Yeah. Now, looking at going to the Eagles real fast, too, they still play the Patriots, too. In fact, they play them next Sunday, not this upcoming weekend. I guess the Philly's off, but they still play the Dolphins, the Giants twice, and Washington once.
Okay.
So that's five games? Yeah. No, that's four games.
It's probably four wins.
And then they host Dallas.
Right.
So I'm gonna say Dallas is the one that's gonna, of the division leaders right now, have the best shot to miss the playoffs.
I'd agree with that. And I'll take back what I said a second ago. I think the wild card from the AFC is gonna come from the West, not the North.
And the Bills?
I'm talking NFC.
I meant to say NFC.
Because the Seahawks are 7-2 behind the 49ers right now. They're play on Monday night this week. I know did you say the other day that the Seahawks are the luckiest team in the NFL this year?
Oh, big time. Look at their point differential.
Plus 18.
Yeah.
Wow.
They have a 1-point win over the Bengals, who don't have a win. They have a 2-point win over the Steelers. They have a 1-point win over the Rams, a 4-point win over the Browns, a 7-point win over the Falcons, although they were winning that game like 27-0.
They had that game in hand.
And then they just beat the Bucks in overtime by 6. Yeah, because I was reading something today, and I almost talked myself into the Falcons plus 13 Sunday against the Saints.
I wouldn't.
Thank
Don't
you.
Do it.
Yeah. I'll need you to text me Sunday morning and remind me not to do that, probably. But
okay, I will.
Because the thing that got me was like, all right, the Saints are 7-1, but they're 5-0 in one possession games.
Yeah.
All right, so they've probably been a little bit lucky there. And whereas the Falcons are 1-3, so both teams have played near identical one score games. Yet one team is 1-7, and the other team is 7-1. But I thought, like, okay. How many of those four one possession games the Falcons were in were games though that they were getting run out of the building at halftime, and then they just they made a comeback in garbage time, that Seahawks game.
Yep.
I think the one that was close was maybe the Cardinals loss, right?
Yeah, that was the 1-point loss, and they kind of matched scores for the most part in that game.
Because the Colts game ended up one of the one score losses, but they
were down 24-0, I think, at one point.
Yes. And then what's the – so you got Seattle, Arizona, Indy, and then the one they won was the Eagles game.
Of course, right.
So two of the three losses, they were getting blown out, and they just – it was cosmetic.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is why Matt Ryan has such good stats this year.
Yeah, because they've been behind.
He just slings it around the yard.
And I think that, for the most part in the NFL, those teams up big in the second half are more than happy just to have the clock run and
right.
get the game over with.
Well, that's essentially what happened to the Seahawks a couple weeks ago. They had that game well in hand, but, you know, the score would tell you that, oh, the Falcons made it close. It wasn't close. They weren't going to win that game.
No, yeah.
Brian Schottenheimer just ran the ball like he loves to do.
That's why I looked at that, and I'm like, I get it where you could think, oh, the Falcons getting almost two touchdowns. There might be some a little bit of value there, and the Falcons being overlooked and everything. But when you do consider that, it, you know, two of those three losses, Atlanta was getting blown out.
Say, for the Saints one possession games, how many of those were Teddy Bridgewater games though?
I think all of them, weren't they?
You got to factor that in too.
Except I think they blew. Then they blew out Seattle in Seattle, but the rest of them were. I think we're all were four. The other four were all.
Because I mean,
we're all close.
You get Drew Brees back, first home game, or
actually no, they beat Seattle by 6, beat Dallas by 2, the Bucks by 7, the Jags by 7.
Okay.
They beat the Bears by 11. So 4 of them, and then they beat Houston by 2 to start the year. So 1 was Brees. So 4 of the 4 okay. of Bridgewater's 5 were the yeah.
Well, if there was ever a game where they were going to blow somebody out, it would be Sunday at home against the Falcons. Falcons are on the downslide. They're on the uptick. It's not going to be pretty.
How about they're only 2-1 with Brees, though?
Well, that one game was the game he got hurt in.
Yeah.
That Bridgewater
got blown
had to
out
finish,
by the Rams. Yeah.
Playing the Rams. I don't take that too much into stock.
Okay. All right.
But, all right. Rounding out the 5-5 real quickly. Does Antonio Brown ever play in the NFL again?
No.
No.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Supposedly he was supposed to meet with the league, I think next week, to kind of discuss these assault allegations against him, and as for all intents and purposes, kind of clear his name and allow him to be signed again by teams. He would probably end up serving a couple game suspension or stuff like that. They were going to kind of lay the ground rules for that, but now he goes on this Twitter tirade today, and well, he does not want to play in the NFL anymore.
That's what he said. The XFL starts up soon.
Telling you. Gonna be a Dallas Renegade.
You think when it came to like guys like there was when Tebow kept bouncing around the league, and then eventually the whole knock was what teams don't like is they just don't like the circus that comes with Tebow and all
right.
the attention. And then you had Kaepernick, and that was the same thing with that. So if you're not gonna if Tebow can't play and if Kaepernick can't play because teams just don't want all that attention and that focus on them, then how in the world could you justify signing Antonio Brown?
Right. How about props to Mike Tomlin, though? Because obviously all this stuff's coming to light now, but you got to imagine, he probably dealt with most of this stuff behind closed doors for all the years Antonio Brown was in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and up until last year was able to keep it together.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then things finally fell apart last season.
Right.
But up to then, they were good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, give him credit. Somehow he did. He managed it and dealt with it.
If he does end up getting canned from the Steelers after this year, which I don't think he should because you don't have Big Ben this entire season, but it seems like people have been trying to push him out the door for the last 4 or 5 years, the first thing on his resume for his next coaching job should be, I handled Antonio Brown for X number of years without the public knowing about it.
Yeah, I dealt with that guy.
He should be hired on the spot immediately.
Yeah, some team would. Some Pittsburgh fired him.
He would... Wouldn't have a hard time finding a head coaching job.
No.
Hey, if Steelers fire him, Arthur Blank, give him a call.
The Falcons? Sure.
Why not?
Yeah.
I'd rather have
him. Take
him
over. Mike McCarthy.
That's what I was going to say. I don't want Mike McCarthy.
Or that other guy who was one of the favorites on the odds board that we had to Google.
That defensive coordinator that doesn't call plays or something like that.
Yeah, that guy. All right, so there's the 5 at 5 brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.